Welcome to part 3, Story of Afghanistan. In ancient times, they got front page status. Welcome to the ruins of ancient Persepolis. What are we going to discover here? Here you see a man holding the hand of another one to your left. Do you notice the difference in dress? Let's move down to the lower panel. What is this Median soldier doing? You can recognize them by the dress. To your right, there is a Persian soldier doing the same thing. So what is the meaning? What can we learn from this? Now we are going to look for another very important Elamite item. Let us look at the far left on the next slide. There you see it. The first soldier carries something very important. What could that be? Do you notice the Elamite dagger on the first one? You can see it's very prominent. Is this a Mede or a Persian? Another Elamite dagger. This Median soldier is leading these representatives to the Apadama, the throne room of the king. You're looking at a display of peace. Peace. Peace is such a precious emotion. Different subjugated nations are peacefully displayed. No war in this display. They are bringing their gifts to the Persian ruler. Do you think we will find some Afghanistan presence here? Here it is. Do you recognize this camel with the two humps on his back? I was so excited when I saw this Bactrian camel with the sculpture of ancient Afghanistan's. What is this relief telling you? Here is a Bactrian, by the way he's dressed. Relief from the eastern stairs of Apadama at Persepolis. So the ancient Afghanistan's were taken up into the army of the Persian kings. His posterity is called Afghanistan. Let's move to another site in our search of Afghan-related archaeology. Not far from Persepolis, you can visit these huge, impressive tombs, inviting you to listen to their history of long ago. You're looking at the largest Iranian necropolis. Necros, polis, means city of the dead. The place is called Naqshi Rustam. Have the ancient people of Afghanistan left their footprints here? I was so excited when I discovered this. To the right you see a tomb. That's the tomb of Xerxes. He was the son of Darius the Great. I found what I was looking for at the top level here. What do you notice? Have a careful look. Let's move a little closer. There you see it. If you have a fair, careful look, you will see two panels of people. Who are they? Will Afghanistan feature on this famous rock? Gandhara. Gandhara is the name of an ancient region located in present-day northwest Pakistan and parts of northeast Afghanistan. Gandhara, soldier of the Achaemenid army at the tomb of Xerxes, 470 before Christian era. To think that the Afghan soldiers of long ago fought in the victorious army of Xerxes. You know, this is something, and there you look at in Afghanistan. What do you see here? It's a soldier, Persian soldier. I love to visit museums and read about the dreams of their kings who boast about their dreams of continuous ruling over subjugated enemies. The mighty Persian Empire thought they would rule forever. You know, we have that feeling that we should live forever. It's implanted in us. Could the sages, the profound philosophers, the oracles predict future history? I'm asking this Afghanistan soldier. No, he says, except for one who was in exile in ancient Babylon. Who could he be? You know, every time I visit the partial restoration of ancient Babylon by Saddam Hussein, my thoughts go back to the time of Daniel. And these are two of my friends that accompanied me. Nebuchadnezzar had a disturbing dream, but could not recall it. Ever happened to you? Right here in the restored throne room, Daniel, under inspiration, told the king that he represented the gold of the image that he saw in his dream. But then he made a daring prophecy. Daniel, under inspiration, told the king what he dreamt. He told the king that he represented the gold of the image. But then he made, as I said, a daring prophecy. Listen to this. Daniel 2 verse 39. But after you shall arise another kingdom inferior to yours. Then another, a third kingdom of bronze, which shall rule over all the earth. So, sorry, King Nebuchadnezzar, but you will be replaced by another kingdom. We don't like to be replaced. 50 years later, Daniel interpreted this dream. And he had a similar dream, but the symbols were different. Babylon was now represented not by a golden head, but by a lion. This was the ancient symbol of Babylon. You can still see it in the procession street in the Pergamon Museum. The Medo-Persian arms of silver were now represented by a bear with three ribs in his mouth. That's the three parts of the new kingdom of the Medo-Persian Empire that conquered three large areas. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head while on his bed. Then he wrote down the dream, telling the main facts. Daniel spoke, saying, I saw in my vision by night, and beheld the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea, and four great beasts came up from the sea, each different from another. What could this mean? By symbols, Daniel predicted the history of our planet from his day till the very last day on this planet. Can you place an empire next to the leopard with four heads and four wings? Can you see it? Who could that be? Let me take you to the Rathaus in Nuremberg. On top, they've got this interesting sculpture. On the left, you see a man. On the right as well. Who could they be? And then the following door, you also have two that look different, of course. So let's look at the first one. This is Nebuchadnezzar, the head of gold that he saw in his vision, as well as the lion in the other vision. Next to it, you have the Medo-Persian Empire. There it is. Three ribs in his mouth. And then you have Alexander the Great. His kingdom was eventually broken up in four parts, according to Daniel. And then there was a fourth one, the Romans. But I just want to concentrate on the Greek Empire now. After this I looked, and there was another, like a leopard, which had on its back four wings of a bird. The beast also had four heads, and dominion was given to it. With our knowledge of the history of the ancient world, we know that this was the empire of Alexander the Great. But people living in the time of the Medo-Persian Empire was unaware that Greece would replace them, because they were a mighty empire. Daniel had yet another similar vision of Greece, but with different images. This is a fascinating book, by the way. In the third year of the reign of King Belshazzar, a vision appeared to me, Daniel, after the one that appeared to me the first time. I saw in the vision, and it so happened while I was looking, that I was in Shushan, the citadel, which is in the province of Elam, and I saw in the vision that I was by the river Ulai. So let's go to the river Ulai. And what do you see in the background? There's a huge pyramid-like structure. One can visit Daniel's tomb in Shushan. While he was here on business, he received this specific, very important vision. He writes, he says, "Then I lifted my eyes and saw, and there, standing beside the river, was a ram which had two horns." Two horns. "And the two horns were high, but one was higher than the other, and the higher one came up last." A vision of the Medo-Persian Empire. At first the Medes were the dominant partner, but Daniel saw that the Persians would eventually take the prominent role. You know, prophecy is so fantastic. It happened, history tells us it happened, just as Daniel predicted. "I saw the ram," so he sees something else now. "I saw the ram pushing westward, northward, and southward, so that no animal could withstand him, nor was there any that could deliver from his hand. But he did according to his will and became great." He's describing the Medo-Persian Empire in this vision. But something is going to happen. "And as I was considering, suddenly a male goat came from the west across the surface of the whole earth without touching the ground." So the next conqueror is going to have a tremendous speed. "And the goat had a notable horn between his eyes. Then he came to the ram that had two horns, which I had seen standing beside the river, and ran at him with furious power." So here's a conflict between two great ancient empires. Who's going to be the victor? "And I saw him confronting the ram." That's Greece. "He was moved with rage against him, attacked the ram, and broke his two horns. There was no power in the ram to withstand him, but he cast him down to the ground." This battle occurred in Iraq. This time Daniel wanted to make sure that the reader understand the literal meaning of the vision. He's going to explain it in the following few verses. "Now, as he was speaking with me, I was in a deep sleep with my face to the ground, but he touched me and stood me upright. And he said, 'Look, I am making known to you what shall happen in the latter day.'" Latter day, end of time. "Of the indignation, for at the appointed time the end shall be. The ram which you saw, having two horns, they are the kings of Media," Persia of course, "and the male goat is the kingdom of Greece. The large horn that is between its eyes is the first king." Who do you think could he be? Well, there's only one that was a great king, and that was Alexander the Great. Question: did he put his feet on Afghanistan soil? This is Alexander the Great, because we're looking at the relationship between Afghanistan and the ancient nations, civilizations, powers. Wikipedia tells us that this is Kandahar from the air. What is so important of Kandahar in ancient Afghanistan? Al Jazeera reports war all around. Kandahar residents fear Taliban advance on city. Thousands of Afghans displaced and many forced to flee to safer places as Taliban surrounds Kandahar city. Was this a repetition of Alexander's invasion 2,300 years ago? Let's continue. These ancient walls of Balkh mentions a famous wedding that was conducted here. You're looking at the site in Afghanistan. Roxana was the daughter of a minor Bactrian baron named Oge Artes in 327. Alexander the Great married Roxana despite the strong opposition from all his companions and generals. He married a lady of Afghanistan. Right here, you're looking at the picture. The city of Balkh was a very impressive city on its day. This is from stock photos. As for the broken horn and the four that stood up in its place, four kingdoms shall arise out of that nation, but not with its power. After the death of Alexander, the prophecy was fulfilled and his kingdom eventually broke up in four parts. Four of his generals became rulers over his kingdom: Cassander, Lysimachus, Ptolemy, and Seleucus. There you've got the four. What did the prophet Daniel predict concerning the death of Alexander and the future breakup of his empire? And here you see the empire. This to me is a fascinating history. The Bible predicted the coming of the Greek kingdom. It predicted that the empire would break up in four smaller empires. One of them was called Seleucus, and this concerns Afghanistan. There you see the four kingdoms that arose out of his death. Following the death of Alexander and the partition of his kingdom, the province of Bactria, Afghanistan, was under the rule of Alexander's former general, Seleucus, who now formed the Seleucid dynasty with its capital in Babylon. What happened in Afghanistan was a little tired of being occupied by great kingdoms of the world. I was so excited when I discovered the following information. Look at this. Grecian-Bactrian kingdom. It's in blue. Soldiers in Bactria, based on the remoteness of their territory, declared independence. Like the Taliban today, defeated Seleucid armies sent to reconquer them and founded the Grecian-Bactrian kingdom, which lasted for more than three centuries in Afghanistan. This is so interesting. The Greek kingdom called Bactria carried on the Greek culture while completely cut off from Europe for three centuries. One of the cities, Aikanum, was excavated, that's in Afghanistan, in 1970, and you're looking at the site, showing a complete Greek city with an acropolis, amphitheater, temples, and numerous statues. So Afghanistan, my friend, was a very important country in times past. Are you sick and tired of war and rumors of war as these Afghans look at their faces? Can you imagine a world with not a single crime and not a single weapon of war? Can you imagine a world with no enemies filled with hatred and murder? Oh, I'm longing for such a situation. Can you imagine a world with peace without end? Ah, there's so many anger and wars and rumors of wars. The prophet Daniel did not only predict wars till the end of time. He also predicted a new era of peace, love, kindness, and a God of compassion ruling over the earth made new. He prophesied a new king, a kind, loving king that's coming soon. And in the days of these kings, that's from the time of Babylon right up to the end of time. And in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. What a thought. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break up in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Inasmuch as you saw that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, this is supernatural, and that it broke in pieces the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God has made known to the king what will come to pass after this. The dream is certain and its interpretation is sure. All the prophecies of Daniel came true, and now he's prophesying about an eternal kingdom of peace, and this too will come true. The stone in this vision is going to be the bringer of good news. He's going to come to terminate every kind of wickedness. Wonderful news. He's going to be the good news for which this tear-drenched planet and blood-drenched planet is waiting and longing for. Have you ever been judged unfairly? Has justice been done to you, or are you still waiting for that day? Listen to the following good news from the pen of Daniel. But the court shall be seated. Wait, just wait a little while. The court shall be seated. And they shall take away his dominion. That's the wicked one. To consume and destroy it forever. Then the kingdom of dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. And all dominions shall serve and obey him. The last chapter of the book of Daniel reveals the serious end time scenario. Listen to the following words. At that time, Michael, that's another name for Christ, means who is like God. At that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble before the good news come, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time, your people shall be delivered, every one who is found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. Two classes, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament. What a future for the good people. And those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. God also revealed to Daniel what would happen after his death. But you go to your way till the end, for you shall rest. This means he's dead, he rests. And will rise to your inheritance at the end of days. Look at the seeming peaceful sight in Afghanistan. My dear fellow traveler, on life's difficult roads of pain and tears and blood? Are you longing for peace, for security, for happiness in a warless environment? I've got good news for you. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away with all its wars and crimes and corruption. Also, there was no more sea, a symbol of wicked people. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men." He's going to be our neighbor, and God will dwell with them. He's going to be with us. We're going to see him. We're going to talk to him. He's going to talk to him. And they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God, the new ruler. And this is what he's going to do. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There are so many Pakistanis and Afghanistanis that weep this moment. There shall be no more death. Children will not be killed. Machine guns will not destroy the lives of people. No sorrow. Nobody will cry then. No crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said to me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." He's giving us a future. And he said to me, "It is done. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely." You don't have to pay for it. "To him who thirsts, he overcomes shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son." And the earth made new, my friend. The redeemed will be engaged in the occupations and pleasures that brought happiness to Adam and Eve in the beginning. The Eden life will be lived, the life of garden and field. There every power will be developed, every capability increased. The grandest enterprises in the cosmos will be carried forward. The loftiest aspirations will be reached, the highest ambitions realized. And still there will appear new heights to surmount, new wonders to admire, new truths to comprehend, fresh objects of study to call forth the powers of body and mind and soul. My dear fellow pilgrim, we are still amid the shadows of turmoil, of earthly activities. But soon our Saviour is to appear to bring deliverance and rest, eternal rest. Let us by faith behold the blessed hereafter as pictured by the hand of God. And in his presence, the trials and sufferings of this life will seem as nothingness. The former thing shall not be remembered. Oh, I'm so glad for that. Nor come into mind. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which is great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Look up, my friend, and let your faith continually increase in a better future. Let this faith guide you along the narrow path that leads through the gates to the city, into the great beyond, the wide and bounded future of glory that is for the redeemed. The nations of the saved will know no other law than the law of heaven. All will be a happy, united family. Think of that, clothed with the garments of praise and thanksgiving. Over the scene of the morning stars will sing together. And the sons of God will shout for joy. Well, God and Christ will unite in proclaiming, there shall be no more sin, neither shall there be any more death. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. The Lord will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. In that day shall the Lord of hosts be for a crown of glory and for a diadem of beauty unto the residue of his people. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate, but thou shalt be called my delight, and thy land Beulah. As the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. He's going to rejoice over you and me. The prophet caught the sound of music there and song, such music and song as save in the visions of God no mortal ear has heard or mind conceived. The ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away forever. Someone wrote these words: two armies that fight each other is like one large army that commits suicide. To the victims of war, not only in Afghanistan, but all over the world, remember, God is about to step into our mess, clean it up, and give us a new beginning. Scenic sight in Afghanistan. To the victims of war, as I said, not only in Afghanistan, but all over the world, remember, God is about to step into this tear, blood-drenched planet and restore it to its original beauty. And if you are a victim of crime and tragedy, just remember, my dear friend, God is going to wipe away all your tears. Father in heaven, thank you for the good news that there will be a new kingdom. We want to be citizens of that kingdom. And if there's any enmity, hatred, and unforgiveness in our hearts, please take it away, because we will not be able to use it in that better land. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.